Hey guys, this is Garrett Hampton, director of Schoolhouse Rocked and the husband of the beautiful host of this podcast. We are coming to Kickstarter. We're going to be launching a very big fundraising campaign to get us through post-production and get Schoolhouse Rocked done. We would love your help. Go to schoolhouserocked.com/support. Give us your name and email address, and we'll let you know when the Kickstarter campaign is coming. Thank you so much for your help. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Now enjoy your regularly scheduled podcast.
Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Hey everyone, I am super excited about our guest today. I know that to many of you, she will not need an introduction. I have Pam Barnhill on the phone with me today. And hi Pam, welcome to this podcast. I'm excited to have you on today.
Hi, Yvette. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. I want, first, before we get into this, tell everyone who you are and about your family and what you do.
Okay. I am Pam Barnhill, and I blog at pambarnhill.com. And I say I blog, but really, I don't blog very much anymore. Mostly, I podcast these days. I have a few podcasts over there, and I live with my husband in Alabama. We've been married for about 24 years now, and we have three kids. They are 12. No, excuse me. She just turned 13.
Oh, wow.
11 and, oh gosh, 8. So, yeah.
Oh, so fun. I am so excited to have you today because you have actually been a big part of Schoolhouse Rocked. You're part of the cast, and let's see, it was about a year and a half ago, probably, when we started started filming for the movie. And we kind of had our list of people that, you know, we really want to get these people into the movie. And you were one of them who was towards the top of that list for sure. Because I said, I need someone who understands how to organize homeschooling. And I think for me, it was kind of one of those selfish, like, I actually need someone to help me figure out how to organize my homeschool day and just how to make it all make sense. And I knew of you. I had, you know, been on your blog. I had heard your podcast. I just was very familiar with who you were. And I think, I don't want to say for sure, but I think I had first heard about you on Read Aloud Revival. I think that Sarah McKenzie had
probably so
introduced you to me. And so that's how I became familiar with you. And just really was encouraged and inspired by all that you have and all that you offer to homeschool moms. You used to be a public school teacher for several years, right?
Yeah, I taught high school journalism for about 7 years in the public school system in Florida. So yeah, that was kind of my MO.
And how did you end up homeschooling?
Well, we had kids, and having been in the public school system for a number of years, I didn't really like the way the school system was going. I taught with a number of just absolutely lovely English teachers in my department who had been teaching for, at that point, you know, they were getting close to retirement or they were past, you know, they had been teaching for 30, 40 years and constantly talking about how their hands were tied, how things were changing, how they were not able to teach what they wanted to. They were being forced to teach things that they, you know, didn't really, not so much didn't agree with as far as content, but, you know, they weren't able to teach the wonderful things that they had been teaching in the past because they were constantly having to teach to a test. Mm-hmm. And just the more I contemplated that and was in that atmosphere and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, I really don't want that for my kids. I really don't want them to just constantly be taught to a particular test.
Sure.
And so we made the decision when we had very young children that we would rather go off on our own and do it ourselves.
So you've taken your career as a teacher and then your career as a mom and coupled them together and kind of become what you are today. And I know you're a conference speaker. You spoke at how many conferences this past year? Do you know?
Six.
Okay. So you were traveling around talking to people. You've got your podcast, you're an author, you have a new book that recently came out within the past few months. You have just taken all of what you've learned and been able to just pour it into the lives of so many moms. And the reason I wanted to have you on the podcast today was because we reached out to our audience and we said, what do you guys want to hear about on the podcast? What topics do you want discussed? What people do you want to have on? And your name came up several times, but also the topic of how do you do this? Like, give us some practical advice on organizing our homeschool day and figuring out how to get it done. And I don't even want to say how to get it all done, because there's no such thing. You can't get it all done. But how do you come alongside of moms and really teach them how to have a successful day without feeling like they get to the end of every day defeated and like they've failed because they haven't gotten through their checklist and, you know, they're left feeling very inadequate. So I want to talk about that today. I would love for you to encourage our listeners and just directing them on how to make it realistic and how to have fun in the process of doing that. And I know you've got your three different podcasts. You've got the Homeschool Solutions Show. You've got your Morning Basket and Homeschool Snapshots. And so that's one of the ways that you help moms to navigate through this daily regimen of figuring out how to get it done. But can you talk to the mom? Can we talk about some practical ways to take what they're trying to do with their kids and make it successful? And I don't mean successful in that you check off all the boxes, but get to the end of the day and feel like, okay, we've had a good day. How do you do that?
Well, I think the most important thing is, so often as homeschool moms, when we're getting ready to, let's say, make a plan for our homeschool year, or what are we going to do in our homeschool this year or something, we often start at the wrong step. We often start with, I need to go curriculum shopping. Mm. I need to jump online and I need to find out what math program I'm using this year and what are we going to do for history and, you know, what kind of science things are we going to do? And really, we need to take a couple of steps back and start earlier than that with the idea of creating a vision for our homeschool. Mm. And this is such an important step. And really, vision is not so much about what we want our kids to become or what kind of results we want to have down the road. Really, it's more about what is the day-to-day atmosphere in our home really like? What are the things that we value for our children's education? What are the things that are important to us? And actually take the time to write those things down and make a list of them. And I tell moms, you know, pray about these things. Talk to your husband about them. Talk to your kids about them and really get some ideas of what is important to you in your school day. What, you know, what do you want your life to be like? Do you want to be constantly on the go, out seeing people, doing activities, taking advantage of all the community that has to offer? Or would you rather be at home, taking things slower and having more time to enjoy great stories and games and other things together as a family? And by really honing in on that and defining that, then when you get to the end of the day, you can look back on the day much easier and say, yeah, this was a good day. We lived that vision today. Mm. You know, we did the things that were important to us today. And it's really important because your vision is going to look different than the vision of the homeschool family next door, the vision of the person who created your co-op. It's going to look different than the vision of the people who write your curriculum. And, you know, it's going to look different than the vision that is in a public school system. But by really defining what it is you want education to look like in your family, then when you hit that mark, you feel really great about what you've done. And it's easier to close out the noise and to close out the critics. And I find with homeschool moms that the loudest critic is the one that lives inside your head.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And, you know, so if you have that plan, that idea of what you want the day-to-day atmosphere of your home to be like, then it's easier to shut that critic up and say, okay, we're doing what we set out to do in the first place. We're accomplishing this. It doesn't matter if we've checked off every box or if we've done what, you know, a seventh grader is supposed to know. We're meeting our goals over here. We're living this vision that we've created for ourselves. So I think that's an important first step before you begin making any plans at all. And then as you start to make your plans, as you start looking at specific goals for each child for this year, or choosing curriculum, or deciding on a course of study, what are we even going to study this year? Then if you throw everything up against that vision, I like to call it the wall for my homeschool spaghetti. You know how you throw pasta against the wall to see if it's done? So as you're throwing things against that wall, you can see what's sticking and what's not sticking. You've got something to constantly evaluate as, should this really be important to us? Or am I just putting it on the list because somebody else says it should be there?
Yeah.
Is this where we want to spend our time? You know, am I going to run myself ragged going to 15 different activities? Or, hey, my vision says we think having lots of time for kids to play and read is important. Maybe we should not be doing these after all.
Yeah. And I appreciate that you even mentioned asking your kids. I think too often we don't think to do that. We just kind of sit down as moms, especially. And oftentimes we don't even think to ask our husbands. We just sit down, you know, during the summer or towards the end of the school year, maybe in the middle of it, and come up with our own plan, which usually sounds great to us because it's our plan, but we forget to ask the other people who are involved. And oftentimes I know when I ask Garrett, you know, what do you think about this? How do you think this is working? And I have a completely different point of view than he does. And he'll say, well, why don't we try this thing? And then he'll give me his reasons why. And I'm like, oh, well, that's actually a pretty good idea. And then when I ask my kids, they might have a completely different answer for themselves because, you know, God has created them with different desires and passions. And I think oftentimes we forget to ask our kids, what is it that you want to learn? And obviously not that they're in the driver's seat of their whole education, but there is really something to be said about allowing our children to pursue the things that excite them. And, you know, my oldest daughter the other day told me she wanted to start studying ancient history. And I was like, really? Because I have very little interest in ancient history. And so I'm much more interested in U.S. history. And so I thought, well, why would she not want to study U.S. history? Because, of course, that's what's interesting to me. And so I was really surprised by that. And, but I was glad that I asked her. And then my little one, she said, you know, I, so funny, she's only seven. And she's like, I want to start learning chemistry. And I was like, and the reason is because she's been watching these YouTube videos called, DIY Sci. I don't know if you've seen those with Steve Spengler, I think is his name. And he does all these crazy experiments, and some of them are chemistry experiments. And so she just thinks they're really fun to watch. Well, that has really piqued her interest. And I'm like, well, you're seven, so I don't know that I'm going to dive into chemistry quite yet with you. But it's fun. And I love getting to ask them and just finding out what are they excited about, and making your whole family part of that vision that you're creating for your family.
Yeah. A fun activity to do with your kids is actually to create a vision board. So, and it's, you know, it's just the standard kind of, I know, you know, most of the listeners have probably seen this idea or heard it, but get a big piece of poster board. And I wouldn't ask the question, what do you want school to look like? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, then you're probably going to get a lot of, because kids have unrealistic expectations about what school can look like on a day-to-day basis. You know, mine would have like candy and games all the time. And that's all well and good. We do some of that stuff, but it can't be the only thing we do. But ask, you know, what would you like learning to look like in our home? Mm. What would you like learning for you to be like? What kinds of things, what kind of subjects and ideas would be good for us to learn together as a family? And let them cut out pictures and words and things like that. You know, how would you like it to feel when we're all learning together? And put all of those things on poster board, and you add some and they add some, and see what you come up with, and have kind of this visual representation.
Sure.
You know, to hang on the wall and talk about it. Really what it is a conversation starter and a reminder for you.
Yeah. So fun. Okay. So what else? So you've got the creating a vision.
And then I think that the next important thing, the next important step to take, we still aren't buying curriculum yet. Sorry.
That's okay. We'll get there.
Are to create some goals. for your kids and for your family. And so when you do that, I do like to take into account their strengths. Mm-hmm. So you make a goal or two related to their strengths, and then just a couple of weak areas that you think are very important to work on this year. Because here's the deal. You can't be everything to everybody, and you can't do everything all the time. So pick one or two areas where your child really needs to focus this year, and set a goal for those areas. And I always like to tell people to set behavior goals, not achievement goals. So don't say, you know, my child is going to finish the math book, because what does that really accomplish? Say, you know, or here, the example that I always use is, don't say my child is going to memorize the multiplication table by the end of the year, because quite honestly, you have no control over that as to whether or not they actually make that goal. But if you say my child is going to practice multiplication facts 10 minutes a day, 4 days a week this year, you have total control over that goal.
Sure.
And can feel really successful. Now, you might have to get creative when they kind of bog down in the idea of, I have to do this again.
Right.
And you may have to come up with an app or some of those fun songs or, you know, different kinds of drills or games that you can play. But you can practice those multiplication facts for 10 minutes a day throughout the entire school year. And then check that goal off at the end of the year and be really successful. And I bet in most cases, the child will probably have them memorized.
Sure.
But that's a way that you can feel successful. And, you know, if you have 4, 5, 6 kids, you're not going to be able to be everything to everybody. So just pick a couple of areas. Now, that's not to say that's all you do with that child this year, but this is a place where you're really putting your focus. Do they need to build stamina in handwriting? Do they need to be able to edit their own work? Do they need to be able to memorize those multiplication tables? Maybe they need to be able to work independently, but just choose those areas of focus for each child. So that gives you a place to start, because you can't do everything.
Yeah. And I think that would help them to feel so much more successful themselves, instead of feeling like, I got to the end of the year and I didn't memorize all of my multiplication facts or whatever it is that they're striving for. Instead of feeling like a failure, they can feel like they've accomplished what they set out to accomplish. Like you said, you know, 10 minutes a day on multiplication or whatever it is. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And then once you have those two things in place, then you can start looking at what is it that we're going to study in our homeschool this year. And this is a place I could really get on my soapbox.
Well, go ahead and go for it.
Where it's important to make a distinction between two different kinds of subjects in your homeschool. And I've been talking about this for a while, but I was so validated to read Susan Weisbauer's book, Rethinking School, this summer, because she talks about exactly the same thing in there. And it is the idea that there are skill-based subjects in your homeschool, and there are content area subjects in your homeschool. And understanding the difference between the two and the role they play in your child's education can be very freeing for a homeschool mom. So your skill-based subjects are things that are worked on systematically. They typically need to be worked on in a fashion where one thing builds upon the other. Usually, not always, but usually most kids work on these things independently. They're working at their own pace, and they're building skills to use for later learning. So these are things like mathematics, learning to like physically form the letters in handwriting, and then later learning to do composition and learning to read. So those are your skills-based subjects. On the other side of the coin, you have your content subjects. And these are subjects like history, science is a content area subject, literature is a content area subject, and for young kids, even foreign language and things like that are content area subjects. And the wonderful thing about content area subjects is you have so much freedom and flexibility in how you study these subjects in your homeschool.
Yeah. Oh. Such good stuff.
Okay. So when you think about it, you know, there's no law written anywhere except for maybe in New York and Pennsylvania, and I'm not even sure about those two states, that, you know, a second grader has to study world cultures, or a third grader mm-hmm. has to do American history, or even that a fourth grader has to do state history. I'm here to tell you right now, we have never done state history in Alabama. And I think maybe we'll hit a museum or two when they get a little older and we're going to call it good.
Right.
so there's no law anywhere. Just because you can go to the homeschool convention and you can buy a book with a 7 on it that teaches American history, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that every seventh grader has to learn American history. Right. So this gives you an amazing amount of flexibility in what you study each year. You can tailor these content area subjects to the interests of your children and your family, especially when they're younger. And also, you can combine kids. Mm-hmm. And work on multiple subjects together and let each child kind of work at their own level. And it gives you a lot of freedom. And when you get to high school, it gets a little bit trickier. Then you have to start building a transcript. But even then, there's when you're creative enough, there's some flexibility there. But before the high school years, I see so many moms freaking out about, oh, we've got to do a 4-year history cycle, or we've got to study this thing this year. Let the kids follow their interests. Do things that they find exciting. Mm-hmm. Make it about learning to be a learner and learning to have a good time with it. Think of gaps. Sarah McKenzie says this, and I have to give her credit for it because it's a wonderful thing. Think of gaps as a gift you give your children because they will always have something to learn and something new to excite them as they get older and older. And, Anna Comstock, who wrote the Handbook of Nature Study. Do you know the book I'm talking about?
No, I've not seen those.
Okay, so it's this big, thick, black book that's really popular in Charlotte Mason circles, and it was published about 1906 or something like that. And it was written for teachers, but it's like, you know, it has a chapter on ants, and it has a chapter on trees, and it's a very extensive nature study book. But in the introduction of the book, and I highly recommend that every homeschool mom everywhere read the introduction to the Handbook of Nature Study, even if you have no interest in nature study, because it's so inspiring. You can find it for free online. It's in the public domain. You can Google it.
Okay.
But one of the things she says in there is the thing that makes us old is not aging. It's ruts and limitations of interest. That is what causes us to grow old. And so you're just ensuring that your children will never grow old because they're never going to have these ruts and limitations of interest. There's always going to be something new for them to learn out there. So think of gaps as a gift you give your kids because you can't cover everything.
Nope. You sure can't. Yeah. And how fun that I love the idea of, you know, once our kids get out of our home, their desire, I want them to desire to continue learning, because I didn't. I mean, when I got out of high school, I was like, okay, check, I'm done with school. I never have to learn again. And it's so different.
But you do though,
oh,
don't
sure.
you?
Yeah. Oh, obviously. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I've learned a whole lot more in my adult life than I ever learned in my childhood, but I didn't have the desire to, you know, I didn't strive for, I want to better myself by becoming more educated in this type topic or subject. I compartmentalized it, and I was like, okay, school, I'm done with school. Now I want to move on with my life. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to get on with my life. I don't want to have to be a student any longer. And I think that doing, you know, allowing those gaps, like you said, it allows our kids to be able to fall in love with learning in a way that's natural for them, and always seek ways to learn more about God's creation and about themselves and about this world around them, because they're, like I said, I mean, they can't learn it all, and they certainly can't learn it all in our 18 years of having them. And there's just so much more for them to learn. And so I think that's a great reminder. Talk real quickly about your book. So you've got Better Together, is your book. When did it come out? Cause I know it was in the last like 6 months or so, right?
Yeah. So Better Together came out in March.
Okay.
And Better Together is all about morning time in your homeschool. And people hear that and they're like, oh, you know, I'm not a morning person or, you know, my kids are too old for circle time and those kinds of things. But what morning time is, very simply, is a time of day that your entire family can come together and learn together. And so it's full of mostly content area subjects, though I have kids close enough in age that I do sneak one or two skill area subjects in there as well. But it's mostly those content area subjects you can all learn together. Mm-hmm. Homeschool families have been doing it for years and years. I actually learned about it from a lady named Cindy Rollins. Mm-hmm. She called it morning time. So that's what I've always called it. But you can really do it at any time of day. I tell people you can call it whatever you want to. We have some families call it power hour. We have some families call it the miracle hour or circle time, whatever the case may be. And really, you bring your family together and you build relationships. You learn together. It adds a little bit of ritual to your homeschool day. It's a time when you can do devotions or you can pray and really kind of build those family bonds together. We have found it's the most delightful part of our homeschool day. It's the part of the day we really enjoy absolutely the most. My kids love it.
Yeah. I interviewed recently Solomon and Cecilia Schmidt. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but Solomon wrote the books History Bites, and Cecilia, his sister, has written some historical fiction books. She's written a trilogy on historical fiction. And I asked her why she thought she's got a great relationship with her siblings. She's got three siblings. She's the oldest. And I said, what do you think it is that has caused you to have such a good relationship? And she said, one of the things is every day before they start school or when they start school, they all come together as a family and they read the Bible together and they pray together and they just spend time together as a family. And she, I mean, she's 17, I think, 17 or 18. And she said, you know, this is why I feel like I have such a good relationship with my siblings, because we start this together every morning. This is just what we do. And I thought that was so powerful and such a great way to encourage families to do morning time. So
yeah, though that is a great story.
That is awesome. Okay. And then I want to talk to you about I feel like there are so many different directions I can go with you because you are such a wealth of information. And all I can say is we will link back to your website and your podcasts and your blog and your book, everything you've got going on, because you know, for our listeners, you really have been a great encouragement to, you know, hundreds and thousands of families. And so we'll link back to all that. But I want to talk really quickly about you've got a retreat coming up. It's a live virtual retreat called the Learning Well Retreat. Talk a little bit about this, because this is coming up pretty soon in September, right?
Yeah, so this is coming up September 15th, and registration is open right now. And it's what it is I partner with a few other women. We call ourselves the Skole Sisters, and Skole is a Greek word for restful learning. It kind of came out of the whole Joseph Pieper. And now I can't remember the name of his book. And I've Leisure, the Basis of Culture. That's it. It's not an easy read. and Dr. Christopher Perrin talks about it. But Skole is restful learning. And so Skole Sisters is all about how to bring restful learning into our homeschools by being examples ourselves as a mother. And we also like to connect other mothers. We tell people, find your sisters. And so that's the great thing about this virtual retreat is we provide the retreat information. We provide all the content for the retreat. We have five different talks that are going on that day. Brandi Vinsel, Misty Winkler, myself, and then very special guest, Cindy Rollins, who we are so excited to have.
I love that. Yes.
And then a Q&A with all of us. So we are actually providing this live streaming retreat content. What we provide behind the scenes is support for you to run your own retreat in your town. So if you have even just two or three other moms, we'll have some groups have told us they're going to have groups as large as 50.
Wow.
You meet in somebody's living room or you get a venue. All you have to do is be able to stream the video. We provide you all kinds of support ahead of time for the leaders. We provide you with schedules and materials, discussion questions for the day. And then you just watch a session. And then you have about 30 minutes between to chat and discuss and have these great meaty discussions and really build community locally. So it's for moms who would love to get away and see some really great homeschool speakers. And I'm talking about the other ladies there, not necessarily
yes,
me.
And you.
Yes. And then, but they can't. And so they can do it locally. And then if you're just a mom who wants to stay home in your pajamas, you can totally do that too. And we have a virtual space where you can connect and chat with other people about the topics between the discussions as well.
Oh, I think this is so great. And the thing I love about it is that it brings the local group of homeschool moms together. Because, I mean, I think homeschool conventions are fantastic. And you go and you get encouraged and you get equipped and you just kind of get that bucket filled up. But this is something that's a little bit different because these moms who are in these local communities, and like you said, I mean, it could just be one mom, which hopefully it will be a mom with at least a few others, but they can combine their people who, you know, are their neighbors and the people that they actually do life with. And there's something that is so powerful about coming together with other moms in your own community and doing life together, doing this homeschool thing together. We've talked about that so much. We talk about it in the movie. We talk about it on the podcast. There is something powerful about community and homeschooling. And people who try to do it alone end up very discouraged most of the time. And they just, they need that. We need community. Yeah. We were built for relationships. And it's one of the things, you know, I love social media. It does what it does very well in many ways. And you can get encouragement and all kinds of information and stuff. But Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those things, they do not provide the one-on-one, face-to-face community that we are created for. You know, God made us for relationships. And so these moms need to come together and create this bond with themselves. And so this is something that you've designed that's, it's not for moms to bring all their kids with them, right? This is more designed for like moms, you just come together and learn together and be encouraged together.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously that's up to the local group.
Sure.
Some local groups might provide childcare and things like that. But no, you know, in our vision of the day, it's definitely a time for moms to step away if they can and to be able to connect with people locally and build some of those relationships that are going to sustain them through the hard times.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. So it's coming up. It's September 15th. Is that correct?
Yeah, September 15th. And you can get more information on that one. It's scolesisters.com/learn.
Okay. We will put a link to that as well in the show notes. And hopefully people can go on there and learn a little bit more about it. I think it's a fantastic idea. And I think it's going to do very well. So Pam, thank you so much. Like I said, I feel like I could talk with you forever. We definitely will need to have you back on the show because there are so many other topics I would love to have you address with us. But thank you for your time. Thank you for all the work that you've put into helping moms to be successful in homeschooling. I know that you have spent years, you've literally poured your heart into doing this, and you are a great encouragement to me. And I know to many, many others. So I so much appreciate all that you do. And I'm so excited to have you as part of the Schoolhouse Rocked cast. I love that you're part of the movie, and, I hope that together we can encourage these homeschool families to do what God has called them to do.
Well, thank you. It was so much fun to be here, and I'd always love to come back. So I appreciate the opportunity.
I would love it. And so real quick again, people can find you at pambarnhill.com, right?
Pambarnhill.com and across most social media as HS Pam Barnhill.
Okay, perfect. And we'll put, again, links to all that stuff. And then you are giving away two of your books. Better Together is the title of your book. And then you also offered to give away, you've got an autopilot class, which is called Put Your Homeschool Year on Autopilot. And so you've offered to give away a class to one of our listeners. So we will get that in our show notes as well, so people can enter those contests to either win a book or maybe an autopilot class. So thank you so much for that. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Yvette.
All right. Thanks, Pam. Bye-bye. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.